Greetings. This is Michael Ann Conley, and you're listening to Habits into Health. Habits into Health programs, and that includes this podcast, are all about helping you turn around those behaviors that create problems for yourself and between yourself and others. Today's show is going to be a paradox because it's coming to you as a gift from all of the technology we have available in our world. And you're listening through that technology. But it turns out that overuse of technology may be playing a role in fatigue. And so I'll be inviting you to check that out for yourself. We've been talking for several weeks about HALT, which stands for hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. And lately, we've been exploring different aspects of tired. This time, we're going to look at how overuse of technology is its own brand of habit that can create problems. As we usually do in every episode of Habits into Health, before we start our topic, we do a little exercise. And okay, it's not the kind where you burn a lot of calories, but one where you get to tune in to your physical sensations. Because in Habits into Health, we say, let your body lead so your mind doesn't have to. I invite you to take a few minutes to be attentive to what's going on physically. Because this energetic field that you call your body is a foundation for everything that you are and everything you know about yourself. Even if you're athletic or into sports and go to the gym a lot, you might not be tapping into this inner level of bodily experience. For these exercises, there's no right way or wrong way. There's your way. And the only reason to make comparisons between how you're doing the exercise now versus how you've done it in the past or how you'll do it tomorrow is what I call the living laboratory. And that means that you are the scientist in your own laboratory, and you're also the experiment. In science, there's comparison to try to determine the factors that are creating a situation, and you start with a baseline. First, you have to find that baseline, but sometimes you just choose a baseline for the purposes of the experiment. And then you try different variables to recognize the impact of each variable. It's kind of like this, except that there's no way out of the fact that with bodily experience, it's much more subjective. Still, building a skill set in recognizing your own inner state starts with experimenting and then tweaking the variables. In this way, you generate an experiential baseline from which you can influence your own behavior in the future. In the Habits into Health exercises, I offer suggestions, and you're free to follow in whatever way works for you. I only suggest that you do this as a discipline so that you come to recognize your baseline from which you can experiment. And let me know how this works for you at habitsintohealth.com because your feedback is important. Your comments can be anonymous and are not automatically posted. So if you want me to keep what you say private, just let me know that. Let's get started with today's exercise. Since we're talking about technology, I invite you to focus on how you're actually interfacing with this podcast right now. For instance, since you're listening, let your attention be around one or both ears. But more specifically, if you're listening through an ear set, feel the equipment in your ear or on your ear or your ears. You might also be engaged through touch as you increase or lower the volume by using your hands and your fingers, or if you're on your computer, you might be making contact with the keyboard in one way or another, as well as looking at the screen where you can see the movement as the podcast moves forward. So you're at least engaged through the sense of sound and perhaps touch and sight right now. Not so much the other two primary ways of perception, which are smell and taste, but you can even check in with what's happening there. Maybe you're eating a snack or a meal as you're listening. Or you're in the neighborhood of some scents that are showing up so that smell and taste are activated as well. So just tune in to how you're engaged in this moment. As you listen, of course, you're hearing my voice. But what else are you listening to? What is your body telling you? Another way to say it is, what else are you telling you? How are you engaged in the act of listening? If you have an ear set in your ear, you might feel the sensation of it in your ear. And if you're at a computer or have an iPod, you can get tactile, feel the keyboard or the dial with your fingers. But also consider checking in with the back of your neck or your shoulders, for instance. Be, for a moment, more attentive to listening. So listen more attentively. And as you do this, what happens in the back of your neck or your shoulder, your shoulders, or perhaps in your face, around your mouth, around your eyes, or even down into your trunk with your breathing? As you're being attentive to this extent, do you make yourself more still or less still? Do you move more or less? You might not have a ready answer for this. Maybe this isn't a question you've asked yourself, and that would be very common, actually. Usually, we're much more focused on the content of what we're hearing than the process of how we engaged in the act of hearing, which is actually much more fundamental. Now try to listen less intently and notice what happens here. How do you actually go about doing that? You're listening, but with less intense energy in yourself. Does it change how you're using yourself? What happens when you engage yourself in the act of listening? What gets activated muscularly? If you don't recognize anything, not to worry. My experience is that for many people, it takes practice to begin to recognize how physical we are in all of our behaviors. And as I said, usually we're much more focused on the chatter in our brain than in the electrical and chemical process and muscular process from which that chatter emerges. So as we've done before, I invite you to continue to be attentive as best as you can to these two levels. What you're hearing, that's the content, and how you're engaged in the act of hearing it. That's your process. And it's a physiological one. You probably can't have much effect on the sounds that you hear, but you can learn how to shift how you listen, first by recognizing the muscular action patterns while you take in those sounds. So I invite you to play with this as we move along in today's topic. And of course, you're listening to Habits into Health, just a ID moment here, and you're being attentive to how you're listening. And you're listening to Michael Ann Conley. I'm your guide for this podcast. We do something a little different with Habits into Health programs. In the world of podcasts and online learning, you will find programs that share information. And you'll also find programs that inspire you to act. You can find podcasts and programs that guide you to experience your inner light, usually through meditation or yoga or a spiritual practice. These are all good. In Habits into Health, we mix it up. There's information, there's inspiration, and there's the practice of experiencing yourself. I am really interested in knowing what you're learning that's valuable or useful to you. What are you struggling with? What's working? What's interesting? What questions do you have? I'm always developing new topics based on feedback from my listeners, from my students, and my clients. Come visit habitsintohealth.com, where you can comment anonymously or publicly about a specific program or podcast. If you're new to Habits into Health, you'll also find other podcasts that might appeal to you on the podcast menu. And you can follow our programs on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter, and you can subscribe to the latest updates. If you want to discover ways to soften a problem habit so it doesn't control you, you can get a free self-assessment questionnaire and also get on my email list to learn about special deals on seminars and private appointments. Let's talk about our topic. I've been thinking lately about how many of my clients and my students live so much of their lives connected in with our modern technology, especially the younger they are. And this has changed for me as well as time moves forward. Everywhere You go, you can see it. And it's not just in big cities, but in smaller towns as well. We're all plugged into our iPhones or Androids or iPods or tablets and Kindles. And while our desktops are becoming more and more obsolete, our laptops are glued to our laps. And what does this have to do with the T in HALT? T stands for tired, and the HAL stands for hungry, angry, and lonely. The idea is that when you don't eat enough or eat well enough, when you let your temper flare or stuff it down, when you isolate from others out of humiliation or depression or anxiety or some other dynamic, and when you don't get enough rest or you rest uneasily, you're creating conditions for slipping back into those habits that created those problems for you, and maybe problems in your relationships with other people as well. When you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, you're just more vulnerable to losing your motivation, your passion for change, and your desire to discover new ways to live your life. What I support is using your own signals as a way out. If you are overly focused on technology, you might not be so focused on yourself. I'm always on the lookout for information and experiences that can help you stay motivated and passionate. And that includes being informed about what gets in the way and what to do about it. So I happened to come across some information about some scientists in Sweden who wanted to find out how people are affected by the technology that surrounds us in the world today. Here's what they learned in four different studies with more than 4,000 young adults who pretty much have grown up with computers and cell phones and other devices. Basically, all use of these technologies today is increasing, and it's increasing the incidence of sleep disorders and depressive symptoms in young adults. That's what this study looked at. I haven't seen anything about studies with older folks yet, but I'm looking. And some of this is because your TV and computer screens emit artificial light. We've known this for quite some time. And this type of light affects your body's ability to produce melatonin, which is needed for restful sleep. But the more we have this artificial light, and we have our computers on, particularly at night, one result is more sleep disorders and depression. The possibility is that this ever-present artificial light impacts what's called circadian rhythms. That's the organic, natural human process of waking when the sun comes up and sleeping or retiring as the sun goes down. And it turns out that women are more at risk, according to these researchers. Using computers late at night without breaks increases the risk of stress in addition to sleeping problems and depressive symptoms in women. In men, intensive computer use is more likely to develop sleeping problems. So the researchers in Sweden recommended three things. First, take breaks. And if you have a hard time taking a break, I would say put your timer on. You know, use the technology to help you. Set your alarm. They also say take time to recover after intensive use. So if you're really intensively using your computer for a project, because those things happen, be deliberate about stepping away and give yourself time. And third, they say put limits on how much you connect. David Volpe, who's a medical doctor and a sleep specialist, he writes a column on the Huffington Post. He says it's important to restore yourself every night with 7 to 8 hours of restful sleep. And he adds these recommendations. First, turn off your TV and computer at least 1 hour before you go to sleep. Second, move your devices out of the bedroom if you can. And third, if you don't have that option, don't watch any TV close to bedtime, and don't sleep with your cell phone on or next to your bed. If you are glued to the TV or constantly plugged into an electronic device, this is a habit that can lead to being tired, among other things. So even if this habit isn't the main habit that you're dealing with, it can play a role in getting you off track from your goals. You deserve reinforcement and support, right? In Habits into Health, we start small and we encourage kindness. So do it a little bit at a time. It might be 15 minutes before you go to sleep for 1 week, and then the second week, a half hour before you go to sleep that you turn off the TV and the computer. moving it back to an hour over time. This is a no-blame game process. Halt is one self-caring reminder that getting too hungry, angry, lonely, and tired gets in the way of stabilizing your changes of habit. If you want to know more, visit habitsintohealth.com and ask me to send you that self-assessment questionnaire to discover more. This is Michael Ann Conley, and you've been listening to Habits Into Health. I support you in turning your old habits around into healthy possibilities for your future. Thanks for joining me.